Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. You know, sometimes a preacher will get up and announce his subject. We're going into some very deep water. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he means possibly that he's going to discuss a subject of which there's a great deal of controversy. He certainly doesn't mean that he's the only person that knows anything about what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about something that's very serious, something that is very important, something that is really necessary for all of us to know and to understand. Now, I've entitled the next three lessons to be Man's Origin, His Purpose, and His Destiny. And when I use the word man, I'm not talking about simply a male. You know, in our feminist-dominated world so much today, they don't like the word man on anything. Of course, when you talk about a woman, you can't say woman without man at the end of it, and you can't say human without man at the end of it. So I want us to all understand, when I'm talking about man, I'm talking about mankind, all of humankind. The generic meaning of the word man that you'll find in any reputable dictionary. Now, the scope of this title, Man's Origin, His Purpose, and His Destiny, you know, that's so overwhelming. It's so inclusive. It ought to be rather obvious to all of us that in three lessons we certainly cannot fully discuss this subject that's been discussed all down through the years. But in these three lessons, we're going to deal with what we are and how we think of ourselves and how we think of those round about us. And this, in turn, is going to have a great bearing upon how we behave, how we think toward other people, about how we live our life. It's going to discuss the very meaning of life itself. It deals with material that is at the same time a source of frustration for a lot of people, but it's also a content of happiness for a lot of people when they come to understand their origin, their purpose, and their destiny. At the same time, some people are very unhappy when they find about man's origin and his destiny and his purpose. But for many people, there's a great joy. There's a joy because it gives life a meaning. The failure to know and to appreciate our origin and our purpose and our destiny, dear friend, it's to invite for ourselves a life of emptiness. It's to invite and to dare wicked living. It's to invite a uselessness of life, a hopelessness. And this is a problem in the lives of so many people today. They think life is so useless. Life is no purpose whatever to it. But on the other hand, when we understand these things, the knowledge of our origin, the knowledge of our purpose and destiny, that's what gives us a great satisfaction. That's what gives to us hope to live each day the very best we can. That is the very basis for our human dignity. That's the reason life has a radiance and an abundant joy about it. And the knowledge of this is also will serve as a deterrent for doing evil. And not only that, it will serve as a motivation for doing what is good. Yes, friend, this lesson, these next three lessons, they go a long way to explaining why, in our very society, there are some who have a glowing joy and happiness and usefulness of life, and at the same time, there are others that are living in deep despair. Now, there's a great difference in the thinking of a lot of people, and it's not because of their bank account. It's not because of their degree of health. It's because they don't understand what we're going to be studying in these next three lessons. I suggest to you that until one knows where he came from and why he is here and where he is going when this life is over, life will just be one great mystery. And that pressing question as to what is life all about, it will remain unanswered until we understand our subject. But the good news is we can understand. We can know. Now, we're going on the basis of something that we're not going to discuss in this lesson, we do in other lessons, that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. And friend, the Bible gives us the answer to all three of these areas of concern, our origin, our purpose, and our destiny. And this is one of the evidences of the divine inspiration of the Bible. This is one of the reasons for its greatness. Nothing else answers these questions satisfactorily for us. In the inspired writing of God, the Bible, God has provided through inspired men, as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, the answer to our inquiry. He tells us what we need to know. That's the reason God is such a wonderful guide and has given us His Word to guide us in this life. I'm wondering, are you interested in your origin and in your purpose and in your destiny? Now listen to me. The biblical explanation for man's origin is very brief. It's very simple. It's easily understood. Now, people may not believe it, but it's easily understood. The Bible tells us where man came from. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created He him. Male and female created He them. Yes, the Bible teaches that man's origin is God created humankind. He created male and female, the two genders. He created them in His image also. He made His body from the dust of the ground, and God is the Father of His Spirit. God is Spirit, and He created man with Spirit. There's a living spirit of man that's housed in this material body that's made out of the dust of the ground. And this spirit remains in that body until that which we call death, that's physical death. That's when the spirit and the body are separated, according to James 2 and verse 26. And what happens then? In Ecclesiastes 12:7, the Bible says, Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, friend, such an explanation of man's origin, that's harmonious with everything man has ever learned. It's harmonious with everything he can know. It's harmonious with everything that he's been able to demonstrate to be true. And this explanation is the explanation that gives man a dignity. He doesn't have dignity with the other explanations. This is what makes him distinct as a human being. That's the reason we speak of such things as human rights, human dignity, self-respect. It shows that human life is sacred because the origin of human life is that God created. And this is why animals may be killed for food for man, but man is not killed for food for the animals. This is why the killing of an innocent man is called murder. And that's not called murder when you kill animals accidentally or intentionally. This provides the very reason for man being and doing differently from all other of God's creation. This is the basis for morality, for there must be a standard of morality for people to live together. It is necessary for proper relationships among human beings. Friend, man is of God. He's come from God. He's been created by God. Therefore, he has a duty to God. And man has both body and spirit, and God is the Father of his Spirit. Now, since none observed the beginning of man, of course, We have to rely upon revelation to know how it all came to pass. And whether one believes the biblical record or some other explanation, such as organic evolution, it is a matter to be decided by the evidence. It's not a matter to be decided by observation, obviously. The origin of man cannot be determined scientifically, therefore, because the nature of science is too limited to be able to answer our question. Science deals with that which can be observed and tested and weighed and measured and demonstrated, and it's impossible to do that with man's origin. The question before us must be answered with the explanation of what harmonizes with what we can know, what harmonizes with what is able to be demonstrated. What is the reasonable, logical, believable evidence as to the origin of man? Creation, or the only other alternative, is organic evolution. Is it reasonable to believe that man, such a marvelous and intricate creature as he is just a result of some kind of undesigned, unintended, unplanned, naturalistic accident, with no purpose whatsoever? Inasmuch as the evolutionary theories contradict so many of the provable processes and the scientific facts, and creation violates not one of them, which is the most reasonable to accept? Now, we accept the fact of creation by faith, but not by a blind, naive, ignorant, superstitious, unsupported faith, as evolutionists like to claim. Faith is founded on revelation and evidence. The evidence is so overwhelming on one side as to the origin of man that we must conclude that the claim that evidence supports evolution is indeed one of the most deadly and deliberate lies being perpetrated among the human mind today. Creation, not chance, that's the origin of man. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, there can't be any improvement on that explanation. Now, why do some accept evolution? It's because they don't want to have God. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to have any authority to which they're accountable. Now, there are basically two kinds of evolution regarding the attitude of toward man and toward God. There's atheistic evolution, and there's what is called theistic evolution. Atheistic evolution denies the existence of God, of course, altogether. They're atheists. They claim that man is totally material, the result of a naturalistic happening. Things just happen, no reason behind it, just the result of chance. Only a highly evolved animal more than other animals. You see, their explanation removes any and all reason for the existence of man or for man having a purpose in life. And it destroys the dignity of mankind and his distinctiveness from the animal world. It destroys the need for and the propriety of morality or any basis for what we call human rights. Humans are only living things, according to the evolutionist, and they're nothing more. To the evolutionist, there's no oughtness, there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no standard that's absolute, to which all men must conform, and therefore his behavior is determined by whatever makes him feel good, whatever he wants to do, because we have no reason to be here anyway, and we're not going anywhere. Any place, anywhere, anytime, the evolutionist completely denies everything that makes the human being special. Well, in our next lesson, we're going to study some more about the evolutionist, the theistic evolutionist. What a pitiful person he is. This has been A Burning Fire, and we appreciate you listening. Until next time.